We've already been so blessed already today with the Clark's ministry here. Now, I noticed the sheet I included said catalystministries.org. Is that still, because I know Catalyst People is Catalyst People? Okay, that's where you can see them, or you can friend them on Facebook, which I did thanks to Mary a while ago, and just really blessed and anointed by God to have them here today. And we're going to take a love offering for them. There's a basket out as you're leaving. You can take a part of them home too. I don't know that they want to stay much longer. They might want to get back to California. I might go with them. They do have some CDs and things out there, and just you can just really feel the presence of God through their voice and through their music. And thank you so much for being here, and we're going to be excited for you to bring some more. Picked one of these verses today from Scripture that we don't talk about a lot. Haggai. But Haggai is the one who got there, not the horrible, the cartoon that was in there, Hagar. I was led to this verse, and it was a little bit unusual for me, because I was like, okay, where are you going to go with this? And God just kind of gave me this concept. But I want to start today with this concept of treadmills and holiness. Yes, I spelled it wrong on purpose. But I want to start off by telling you, you have a mission. Okay, we have a mission. Everybody has a mission here. You may think that that most of us probably didn't wake up today and say, "Wow, I have a mission." Did we? Anybody wake up and say, "Whew, all right, got breath today. I've got a mission." Did anyone do that? I wrote it down and I didn't even do it. So, but we don't think that way often. But many of you may say, "I have a mission." And you may say, "I have a mission right here in Northeast or in Elkton or in Rising Sun or in Perryville or Port Deposit." Or, you know, I have this mission here. And for many of us, that may be a cop-out because we're afraid what mission really has. I remember years ago, I was always afraid to really open myself to God. When I was baptized by immersion, that's called dunking, when I was dunked, I remember that when I was going underwater, I was so afraid I was going to come up and receive this calling to go to outer Swabovia and leave all those wonderful things that I had in life. And we didn't even have the good electronics that we do now. I think we might have had Pong. You know, that might have been the extent of it. But, you know, I was always so afraid of that God may actually call me to leave the comforts here to actually go be like Mother Teresa or the Minks, Gary and Rebecca Mink, who have been in this area for years doing the mission ministry. But the fact is, a lot of us just say, "Well, God's got a mission right here." And sometimes that is a cop-out, but sometimes it is true. I believe God called me back here for a mission. But what I want you to analyze to make it not a cop-out is, if this area is your mission, what difference have you made for God in this area? If you were off the earth, would there be a difference made in this area because you're no longer here? That's how you tell whether it's a cop-out or whether it's a mission or not. You know what I mean? How many in here like to work out? How many here don't like to work out but think you should? How many look at a treadmill or something every once in a while and say, "Oh, that's good," or watch the PX90 commercial and say, "That'd be cool if I wasn't eating this cheeseburger," right, you know? Or this, you know, Klondike bar or something, right? How many do that, okay? Working out at the Y, sometimes I feel like this. And that's usually before the workout. You know, I try to work out at the YMCA, and I start and I go, okay, and I usually go early because I like to go early because that's the time that, you know, I figure if I get up early, then that means I'm getting there. And the whole way I'm riding, and my mind is always making excuses why I can't do it. You know, you've got this to do later on today. Can you get back in time before Melissa has to go? Can you do this kind of stuff? You go back and forth. Anybody do that in your mind? Even when I stand on it, I'm getting ready to put it on. I'm getting ready to go. Oh, look, see, it's starting without me. I get ready and I go, let's see. I can do the really hard weight loss trainer, or I can do this one has the up and down arrow, and it starts only at 2. I'll try that one. You know what I mean? You make compromises. And then, if you're like me, you put in the dreaded 30 minutes. Anybody do that? Anybody put in longer? Anybody put in less? Anybody not put in at all? Okay. Well, you put in 30 and then it gets to about 5 and you look at the clock and go, there is no way. No way. No way. Uphill, uphill, downhill, right? You do those kind of things. And we go through this kind of thing. We're convincing ourselves, but then afterward, there's this other kind of feeling. And I think what it comes down to priorities. And I think also our mission field comes down to priorities. What are right priorities in our lives? We make priorities all the time. And sometimes we don't even recognize that we're doing so. I want to ask you this question today. And it's going to be up here. What would the church look like if everybody had the same commitment as you? Think about that. What would the church look like if everybody had the exact same commitment as you? Everybody was little clones of you. Okay? And I'm not just talking about Haven Church. I'm talking about the Church Universal. If everybody had that. If they had the same commitment to giving of your time, your talents, the mission field, would it be different? You know, there's an interesting section that God called Abraham. You remember Abraham? Father Abraham, go back to Genesis. World's three major faiths go back to Father Abraham. That's probably the one thing they can agree upon, that Father Abraham was pretty cool. And then from there, we all lose it, okay? But if you read the scripture, God blessed Abraham. Does anybody disagree with that? Anybody know why God blessed Abraham? What? His faith. But do you know why he blessed him? What his blessing was for? To bless others. Technically, to be a blessing to the nations of the world. God gave Abraham a blessing. I'm sure on the journey, Abraham thought it was a curse sometimes. I'm sure when he had his son, Isaac, laying down and he was ready to sacrifice him, it wasn't that much of a blessing at that time. I'm sure when he lied to the Pharaoh and said that his wife was really his sister, which was kind of a half lie, okay, or cousin and all that kind of stuff, they were related. I'm sure that wasn't a fun time. I'm sure when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was trying to get them away and all this kind of stuff. I'm sure it didn't feel like a blessing, but I don't think anybody here can challenge that his blessing was a blessing from God and in turn is a blessing for everybody else afterwards. So I want you to think about your blessing. Let's think about this in your prayer time, okay? Your prayer blessings. Are your prayer blessings, do you pray for God to bless you or do you pray for God to bless others? The bulk of your prayer time. I mean, all of us are real good about taking care of mom, dad, and those guys. But how many of us spend most of our prayer time saying, me? Okay? I know I do at times. Let's be honest, don't we? God, you know, I need you this moment. You know, I'm struggling. I go to this part. How many of us go to the point and just give God glory and thank him as we sang today? How many just thank him? Let me just say, oh my gosh, I got to stop everything. Oh, I got to put on the DVR and go ahead. I'll watch Real Housewives of Cecil County later or whatever it is. Wouldn't that be a good show? Okay. And you put that on DVR later, and then you go ahead and you say, but I just got to spend time with Jesus and thank him. You know, this week, as I said, I got a chance to go see this this girl. And, you know, sometimes you just wonder, God, you know, I got this list of other stuff, but it was just so neat to just be the presence of God in this dark situation, you know? What was really cool, going down 95, the Holy Spirit was there probably about 45 minutes or more, maybe even a couple days before I ever got there. And so when I walked in the door was already set for me to be able to help minister at that time. And I only knew this girl from teaching her in class, but God uses something else to do that. And just to get replies about that we're being a blessing, but I've been blessed by God to be a blessing. So my prayers this week have been focused on her and others and many of you this week rather than myself. And it really changes you. You know, because a lot of times when we pray, we pray in these ways for ourselves, our personal benefit. Oh God, please just get me off of this. God, please go ahead and just fix this. But the difference is God wants to fix those things, but often we want God to fix it so that we don't have to deal with it. We don't want to say, God, I want you to get me off of drugs so that I can be a blessing to those who are in drug addiction for you. We don't say, God, I want you to heal this body so that I can be a testimony to you about your healing power. We just say, I want you to fix it because I'm tired of dealing with it. Don't we? Rather than being a witness for the Lord. That's your mission. What can God do and bless you in order that you may go ahead? And not just so that you can have or be, feel comfortable, but so that you can be a mission to God. More importantly, we need to have prayers and ask for blessings for purpose. Purpose. Now, I know thanks to Rick Warren, purpose is that term that got thrown way out there and is everywhere, purpose. But this is the difference in prayer of, God, I want you to get me off of drugs so I can reach others for you and tell them about your great power. God, I want you to heal my marriage because it's broken, and I want you to be a testimony of the healing power of our marriage, that things that are broken apart that only you can put back together when we ask you to heal it and mend it. God, I want you to do this so I can connect others to you. On your sheet down below, you have a verse from Galatians. And if you have your Bibles today, I'd love for you to turn here to Galatians chapter 5, even though we're going to be in Haggai. But Galatians chapter 5, there's a verse that I think really focuses on us. And it says, so I tell you, live by the Spirit, then you will not do what your sinful selves want. I like that translation, your sinful selves. Live by the Spirit. That term live actually means keep on walking. Keep on walking in the Spirit so that you don't do what the evil desires want. You see, because when you're walking in step with the Spirit, when my focus is in with God, that means I'm being led by God. That means I'm being directed by God in that area. When we look at what it says, there's two things. Keep walking with the Spirit. So what? So that you don't do what your sinful selves want. Now, what that's like saying is like saying, I got this treadmill. I bought it months ago. I got this treadmill. It's been sitting over there, and I haven't lost 1 pound. Just take that thing back. It's no good. You know what I mean? We have to utilize it. We have to put on the spiritual mindset and run in the Spirit. So, in order to use this, you have to be ready. And I'm going to do a little bit of Mr. Rogers here today. And I'm going to get ready right here, and we're going to talk about keeping in step with the Spirit. Sound good? So first thing I got to do is I got to get my shoes off. Like Mr. Rogers, I can even do this. Okay, there we go, Mr. Rogers. And I got to have the proper attire. Don't worry, I've got clothes on underneath. I'm not being David and stripping down and worshiping the Lord, but we can do that. All right, ready? I'm all ready. And I do have pants on under here, so don't get really upset. So here we go. This is my striptease sermon. I needed to da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. All right, so we have that set, all right? Because you can't work out in your church clothes, can you? Anybody ever tried? And it's easier to work out in your church clothes here than it is in other places, isn't it? Right? So put on your... I've never worked out in a pair of khakis. So I don't even like working out in these most of the time. So here we go. So in order, we got to keep in step with the Spirit. But, we've got to use the treadmill. How many of you have a nice $300 or so clothes hanger called a treadmill, right? Anybody have one of those? You know what I mean? You buy them and you hang your clothes on them. You guys just want to see me try to do this. I'm going to call my wife in now that she's a nurse and see what happens. But the promise is this. The promise is that we've got to... Looks like the rapture happened here, I think. But the promise is that we need to keep in step with the Spirit, and then we won't gratify the sinful desires, right? So we got to keep in there. But what happens all the time is we often... Oh, I'll put this on too. We often try to keep in step with the Spirit, but... We often try to keep in step with the Spirit, but we also want to gratify the desires of sinful nature. And that's like being on the treadmill and doing this. I'm working for the Lord. I'm keeping in step. Right? I'm keeping in step. Why am I not losing any weight? Huh? Man, that's dry. Pretty good, though. But that's what Paul says that we need not do. We try to keep in step with the Spirit, but we gratify the desires of sinful nature. It's like running on a treadmill and working out and eating potato chips at the same time. Or Twinkies. Twinkie would have gone down better. You see, we love to gratify ourselves. And what we find out is that we're all that, we try to have our spiritual life being all that in a bag of chips. And it's based on several things as we go to Haggai. It's based off of excuse. And this is what happened with the people in Haggai. The people at this time had come to a point. It was in 538 BC, King Cyrus, a pagan leader, said, go back and rebuild Jerusalem. It's in ruin. Go back and build your temple. That's what he told him to do. So they went, and there was this. And then in 536 BC, 2 years later, it started. The construction started. And there's a lot of excitement about that. In 534 BC, anybody know what happened? Construction stopped on the temple. And then 520. Keep in mind, we're coming from 534 to 520. Oh, thanks, Wayne. Is it some energy drink or something?
Water.
Here we go. In 520, 534 to 520, 14 years went by. Nothing was done to rebuild the temple. Nothing. They wasted 14 years taking care of themselves and thinking it was more important. And then they resumed in 520, and 4 years later, it was completed. 4 years later. A job that took 4 years, they wasted 14 and made it 18 years. Does that sound like your spiritual journey with God? Anybody? Sounds like to me they were on a treadmill eating potato chips. Kosher potato chips because they're Jewish, right? See what I mean? And what we have, that verse in Galatians says, be led by the Spirit. That's what it's telling us. And I would dare say that 99% of us in here are truly, maybe a little bit less, but in the 90 percentage range, we're afraid of truly being led every day, every second by the Spirit of God. Because it just may cause us to pack up and go to outer Swabovia, you know? But guess what? That's where your mission is. It may cause us to share Christ with people. But then we'll go back to the excuse part, won't we? I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know enough about God. I don't know about... Guess who does? The Holy Spirit who empowers you. If we stay in step with Him, we know about Him. Anybody ever walked with somebody? Kept in step with somebody? You get to learn something about them when you're walking side by side. Okay? And so, what this is this... Our workout this way is based on excuse. Look at what the people said. The people said, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Isn't it funny that they now proclaim that it's not time for the house of the Lord to be built? Hundreds of thousands of people went into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. 50,000 came back to build the temple, started off and then said, nah, that's not the time. That they decided to tell God what was time and what was not. They began making excuses, and some of them were valid. Some of them were good on paper. Some of them said, the work is hard. The number of people are few. We don't have a lot of money. There's crops are failing, and there's drought. There's hostile enemies that don't like this. It was easier in Babylon. But the problem was, what I have on there, eyes and fur. Eyes and fur. They had an eyes and fur problem. Or their eyes and fear. What they saw paralyzed them and stopped them from doing what they needed to do. And I'll tell you what those eyes are. Number one, they began to rationalize not doing the work that God called them to do. They began by saying this: if the work is so hard, then God probably doesn't want us to do it now. Anybody ever thought, you know, it's hard, so God doesn't want us to. I wonder, you know, Jesus went to the disciples and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they fully didn't understand what that was about, did they? I think if he told them, hey, by the way, you're going to evangelize the whole entire world. Even after he ascended into heaven, they sat there when he told them to go back to Jerusalem, said he would be their witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They stood there on the mountaintop. Why? They couldn't have that concept about reaching out to the world. It was only when they were persecuted that God sent them out to where they needed to be. It was tough. Persecution was tough. Every one of them died a martyr's death but John. You think that was tough? But look at the chains that they made for Christ. They may have said, it's really not time for the temple. And God says, you say it's not time to build, but what about? But yet my house lays in ruin. What is it time for? Priority. Next thing is, they began to internalize. And how they internalize? They begin to weigh living by the Spirit versus living for themselves. They begin to say, okay, if I keep in step with the Spirit, if I do this. They begin to do what we do. I have this amount of time in my life. I have this amount of finances. I have this amount of this in my life. And by doing so, this is going to be mine, and God will give you that. Okay? And that's what they begin to do. They begin to look at their... They begin to live for themselves. They say, oh, my money, my time, my effort, etc. is tied up in blah. Then they begin to say, how will this affect my American Christianity? And I believe our American Christianity, as much as I hate it by saying this right before our Independence Day and right because I am a proud American, we have an idea that American Christianity is exactly what Christ intended, and it's not. It's not. It's not about making just one commitment. Wayne and I were kind of talking about this the other day, but there's been such a focus in American Christianity on personal relationship with Jesus, and that is important in the first step. But I think what God sees throughout Scripture, more importantly, is the communal relationship with Christ. The relationship that's supposed to be lived out throughout the church. The relationship that when someone may not even be a believer, we reach out in love to them and take care of things to show them and extend the love of Christ. That we begin to go ahead and just live as Christ said. What it was, you know, I've said it before, but one of the major important things that Jesus said, when you do to the least of these, you know the least of these? Anybody who doesn't know him is the least of these. Not only the ones who are poor and hungry, that's extremely important and we need to wrap our arms and our hands around that, but to anyone who doesn't know Christ is the least of these. All right? Is our priority to get from point A to point B so important that we don't have time to stop and give them the most of this, which is Christ himself, keeping in step with the Spirit? American Christianity has become a follower who doesn't follow. We profess, we check cards, we check things. And I'm saying over a whole. And I think Christ wants us to get to a commitment where we lay down our lives and just serve him. That doesn't mean everybody here leaves and joins the mission field. That doesn't mean everybody here becomes a pastor. Because I'm going to tell you, there are some pastors who don't need to be pastors. So God may want you as a business person so that you can reach out in the business field. God may want you as a multimillionaire so that you can go ahead and help build the church and build people and reach out to the least of these. God wants you to do what he's placed you to do in your mission. Next thing is justifies, is another one. Justifies or settle. We settle. I love this little note I found. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. No one chooses mediocrity, but many settle. Try it to never settle. Can you hear the people that came back to rebuild the temple? Can you hear them? We've got the foundation and we've got the altar. That's good. We can worship God that way. We can still do our sacrifices. But their whole purpose, their whole calling, their blessing of purpose to have Cyrus bring them back was to do what? To rebuild God's house so it could be a blessing. And they wondered why they had multiple paneled housings, and yet they didn't have plentiful because God wasn't in it. And then they begin to get in the, that's the eyes part, but then they begin into the fur part. They begin to transfer or defer. You know, it's not been done for some time. We've been here already 14 years. The foundation, that's good enough. We'll just leave it there. So, you know, we don't really need it. We begin to transfer or defer. We can do it a later time. Or we refer. This is something we're really good about doing in the ministry. Oh, somebody else will do it. I'm going to tell you something. That's like we're told we're the body of Christ. Can you imagine if your heart said, I'm really tired of pumping today? Somebody else will take care of it. Maybe the foot will pump for me today. Besides you looking like a rabbit all day, it's not going to happen. You know why? Because the foot was not called or designed to do what the heart does. See where I'm going? Okay. We refer. Somebody else will take care of it. I'm sure people said, oh, I was supposed to build that part on the temple, but somebody else will get it. I was supposed to work out today, but I'm tired. I was up late last night. I don't want to get out of bed. It'll be there tomorrow. It'll be there the next day. I don't miss the chips, though. I find them right away, don't I? You know, what's really funny is sometimes in my life, the treadmill has been in my bedroom, which is closer than the chips. And which one do I use more, the chips? So we refer at times. And then we differ. Wait, you know, later's better. When I'm settled down and the kids are gone, they don't have more time to give to God. Anybody have that situation? How's it working for you? Not working? Doesn't work out that way? Or, you know, when, you know, we just got married and, you know, we're going to spend some time together and then we'll get connected. Once I get my life together, that's the one I really love. Once I get my life together, then I'm going to serve God. Guess what? If you're like me, it ain't ever going to happen. You're going to serve God when you go into glory. You know? Because I'm never going to get my life together. The only person who can get my life together is Jesus. What? Life definitely gets in the way. They go to this verse in Scripture, and it's the next thing. Consider your ways. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, harvest little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put clothes on, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Your investments. What we're talking about. You know, this verse of Scripture right here. Consider your ways. It actually is a Hebrew, old Hebrew translation, a Hebrew quote. That means this, put your heart on your roads. Isn't that a cool statement? Put your heart on your roads. That means where your journey's going, your heart better be there. You know how many people, I love watching people. And by being in Baltimore this week, and by being at Canal Days, and by being just riding around, I got to see people. You know, the night before at dinner, I just got to watch people. And I saw a lot of people. I saw a lot of people around my table when the guy was drowning. Everybody's like, boom, coming over here to look. And like, you're eating dinner, and hi, how you doing? Somebody looked at me and said, what, aren't you going to get up? And I said, no, I'm good. You know, because in the midst of this, what I'm thinking is, during this week, I saw a 17, 18-year-old girl who, if it had turned out differently, she could have died. I see the one who was driving the car whose life has forever changed in a negative pattern because of stupid mistakes in life. I see a guy, 25 years old, went to have a good time that night, jumped off a boat, and that was it. Is that your purpose in life? Is that your mission? We're all just one stupid mistake by us or someone else from leaving this world. And call it my 40-ness or whatever. What legacy do you want to leave? Not about that people write in a book and put me in stained glass and say I'm Jack Cohen. But what legacy am I going to leave for God that when I get there, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. What legacy is that? What spiritual legacy? What mission is God calling you to? In other words, what is my investment? That's our first thing there. What is your investment? That's where your heart and your road is. If you want to find out where you what you really care about, find out what you invest your time, your talents, and your money in. That's what you really, really care about. What I really, really care about is what I invest my time, invest my effort, invest my brain, whatever it is. When I look at that honestly, I see, guess what? I find television very valuable. I find the craziness on the internet very valuable. I find people very valuable. I find God valuable. But guess what? If I'm really honest, he's not the major investment in my life. If I'm really, truly honest with myself, he's not the major investment that he needs to be in my life. A great pastor, James Montgomery Boyce, who tragically died from cancer at the age of 61, wrote about this statement about you drink but never have fill, you put clothes on but not warm, you earn wages and you put them in a purse with holes in it, said this statement, which is printed in your bulletin. It says, I do not know of any passage in the Bible that better describes the fervish yet ineffective activity of our own age. You ever feel like at times you drink and are filled, but you're not really satisfied? You ever feel like you go to a place to have fun, but you're still not really there? You ever feel like you're living life by the pattern, but you're not really living that fullness that was promised? You ever feel like you're going to the gym and working out, but you're still eating chips? That's his age. And God, it was the age for them back then. We need to work out a purpose. Not one with our holiness. That's the last thing. Your satisfaction. We're not satisfied. That's the middle one. And your holiness. H-O-L-E-Y-N-E-S. A lot of us in this room may feel the faster I go, the more I get behind. Some priorities are so out of God's direction. It's like putting our money in our pants pocket with holes in it. You ever done that? Put money in there, think it's safe. And then you go to pull it out, and you reach down to the bottom of your leg and pull out nothing? Huh? Yeah, well, maybe if it stays in there too, right? Because there's a hole in it. You go, oh, I had a hole in it. Oh, no. And meanwhile, somebody else comes along and goes, woo, great, I found $20. You know? That's kind of how many of us may feel about our relationship with God. It's going well. We've been spiritually working out. We've been getting it. We've been spiritually working out, but wait a second, I need some more chips, you know? And we get away from God. In order to have this workout on purpose, our workout on purpose for God and focused on mission, is one that is aimed at a goal. It's aimed at a goal. It's one that stays focused. Their goal was to rebuild the temple, and guess what? That's your job, too. Your job is to rebuild the temple. And I'm not talking anything about bricks and mortar. Anybody know what it says in the New Testament what the temple of God is? Huh? Right here. Let me tell you, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where the presence of God resides. The presence of the Almighty, the one that we were singing thank you to, the one that we were singing about, and the one that met us here today and is here present with us. He lives within you and me. We don't have to build something by hands all the time to have him there, you know, and say God's there. One time I remember, and I may have shared this before, I remember there was a girl who called me while I was watching a movie in the early days of where you pay-per-view. And it was before I was even a pastor. And I was watching some movie. It had the redheaded guy from NYPD Blue, and David Caruso. Remember him? See, you don't remember him. He was only on there 1 year and thought he was going to be a big star. Okay? But he was on there. And it was some movie. It was a horrible movie. But I was watching it, and I paid like $5 for it or something. And this girl calls. Mom and dad were away, and she called, and I had known her, and she was a girl who always dealt with suicidal thoughts. And my initial reaction was, why did I have to pick up the phone? Why didn't I let the answer machine get it? He's the minister. You know? That's my initial thought. And I was talking on the phone to her, and next thing I know, the presence of God is just there trying to minister. Here's a girl with suicide on her thoughts continually, and I said to her, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, I said, Maureen, I said, let me ask you a question. Would you go down the street and burn down the church? I said, no. I said, why not? Let's just go have a barbecue. Let's just have a barbecue and set the church on fire. And she's like, I wouldn't do that. I said, why not? She said, because it's God's house. And I said, let me tell you something. That's no more God's house than the room I'm sitting in now. You are God's house where the Spirit resides. And if you do anything to destroy that body, you destroy the place where the presence of God exists. She's like, I never thought of it that way. She began to look at herself as a child of God, and her life changed. Her life changed. Not just because of that. She had some ups and downs and kept going. She got on the treadmill, spiritual treadmill. She was running good the rest of that night. But guess what? Tomorrow she had some more chips while she was on there. And a couple months later, she had some more chips. And then she had some time where it felt like she was running a marathon. And then guess what? That came crashing down, and she felt like she had to go to Twinkies. You know what I mean? You are God's house. Rebuild the temple. As I see more and more and more, and I know you deal with it, Mary. And I know you deal with it, Larry. There are people who are broken. There are temples of God that are broken. Just broken in life. They know the Lord, but they're broken. Because they're putting money in old wineskins that have holes in them. We need to have a workout on purpose, one that is focused on rebuilding of us, the temple of the Spirit, into who Christ wants us to be. The other thing is the building of the temple, and when we do God's work, it's active and celebrated. I find this really cool. Remember I said at the foundation they started praising God? Look at this verse from Ezra. It says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with their trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord. And how many other people? What is it? And all the people gave a great shout of praise. All the people gave a great shout of praise. Let's try that. Does that sound good? At the count of three. I got to give you three because it's habit. One, two, three. Oh, that is lame. You just laid the foundation of the house of God. At the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, one more time. Shout of praise and triumph. One, two, three. Oh, do I have to bring the kids in here? One, two, three. Woo! Oh, you're lame. Okay? The foundation of God. They were so excited. These were people who were in that captivity for years. They had everything they had known, their homes, their place of worship of God, had been removed from them and completely and utterly destroyed by the Babylonians. And because God moved the heart of a pagan king, 50,000 came back and they got to see the foundation. But they got their eyes off of their calling. And they began to focus on self rather than God. And it took them 18 other years to complete it in a 14-year year. How many of you remember the foundation that God started in your temple when you first came to know him? Some of you may not have done that, and that's the time to do it here today. Say, God, you know what? I'm tired of running, tired of putting money in my spiritual pocket and it falling out. I'm tired of working out on chips and not doing anything. I want you to come into my life. But those of you who have done that, I want you to remember that foundation. Remember the joy, remember the tears, remember the excitement. Have you been on a 14-year hiatus and haven't built much more on that foundation? You know why they celebrated? Because God's cause is worship-filled work. When you do something for God, it is filled with worship. It's connecting, giving God worth. You're telling God how much he means to you by making him the priority in your life. How many of you in a relationship, if you gave your husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, you gave them 2 minutes of the week and said, you know, you're really important to me, would they believe that? Last of all, what we need is what they had in the workout, a spiritual smoothie, a Holy Spirit smoothie. Now, you know, what I learned is when you work out, by the time you work out, there's about a half an hour to an hour that your body is really ready to take on all kinds of nutrients and everything. Am I right? Anybody know that? That's why Gatorade became really popular. It's not just something to have when you're thirsty. It's something because Gatorade, Powerade, all those drinks are made to, because your body is ready. They have all these kind of things that help you build muscle mass. So when you go ahead and you work out, your body's on fire and ready to receive when you've really worked out right. If you work out on chips, it's not ready. But if you work out right, you can feel it in your body. You know, every time I get on that treadmill or I get on the stair thing or whatever, you know, I'm like, or the elliptical, I like that one because that makes me feel like I'm doing something and my old knees don't get hurt as bad. And so you're doing that kind of thing. And when you get off and when it gets to that 30 minute and then you got 5 more minutes of cool down, I'm like pumping through. And by the time 35 minutes is off, I get off and my legs are like wanting to do more, you know? And I like go over to where the towel is because you got to wipe it down because we're all disgusting and sweaty. And you go grab it and you pull it down and you run back over and your body's like, run, run, you know? It's craving more. And so that's the time to take that drink because your body goes, boom, give me more. And when we get to the point where we really begin to work out with God, when it gets tough, we press through that wall, and God wants to give us more. Look at the verses about the Holy Spirit. My cup, what? Runneth over. I will fill you to overflowing. God doesn't say I'm going to give you a little bit. He wants you to just bask in his presence. Look at what the verse of Haggai said. When he admonished the people for not building upon the foundation, it says, so the Lord stirred the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, of Zadok, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of people. I pray that God, that the Lord will go ahead and stir your spirit. Put you in a spiritual blender. Get you rolling so that we can accomplish the mission that he's called us to. I'm going to ask you guys to go back up and lead us in some more worship. I'm going to put my pants back on. And I'm going to come over here to the altar along with Steve and Bobby. Yeah, that's all right. So, and I want you to just open up your lives and please stand where you are, and I want you to just open your heart to the Lord right now. Go ahead and stand. I want you to just be available to God and just ask him. Just tell him you need to build on whatever you stop building on. Just trust him and love him. Let him love you here this moment. If you've been hurt, let him heal that. If you've never come to know him, use that as a time here today, as we begin to just have God move more powerfully in our lives. Because there's a purpose for your life, a very important one that he just wants to bring mission to. So put down those chips and let's just worship him.